G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 24. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again is Joel Marshall. And Joel, the Festival of Racing reaches its Caulfield climax with the running of three Group 1s this Saturday, headed by Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Stakes. And what a wide open version this is. Winning Post has got the favourite at 6.50. I have heard the favourite quoted as short as 5.50, but even if it was that, it would be a remarkably open Blue Diamond where you've normally got a favourite somewhere in the sort of 2.50 to 3.50 region.
Yeah, look, it's just it's been that sort of year, hasn't it? Everything's, you know, pretty much everything in the race has got a chance. Even, you know, the two sort of outsiders, if you like, in the field, Grand Symphony and Crossing the Abbey, I think are sort of only around the 40 to 1 mark, so, you know, they're even considered some sort of chance. What have we got? Five unbeaten runners going into the race. Longleaf will be probably your favourite. He's the one you speak of as he's sort of into around that $6.50, $6 or even $5.50 mark. He's done nothing wrong. But yeah, you can make a case for plenty, and it's going to come down to luck in running. There's been a few horses, namely one of them, Ahood, who is yet to win, but really hasn't had much go right in any of her runs.
All right, well, we'll get to that shortly. We'll take you right through the black type at Caulfield, which means to say right through the nine race card, because it's all black type, starting with race one, Ladbrokes Mornington Cup Prelude. 2,000 metre listed event sees the return of 2016 Melbourne Cup winner Al Mandon, as well as another Lloyd Williams owned and now Liam Howley trained import in Holmesman, and a few that have had one or two runs, a few stays that had one or two runs, and of course the very much informed Bedford, who as a 78 rater isn't particularly well weighted, but is going very well.
Yeah, it's always tricky when you get some of these Lloyd imports returning or having their first run in the country, but after spending many years struggling to find them, after finding the cup winner Rekindling, I've got me back up a bit, and I'm going to step into one of his, and that being number two, Holmesman. Seen a few of his replays. He looks to have a fair bit of talent, very green and with plenty to learn in a couple of those performances in Ireland, and then he ran well at Royal Ascot. They sent him to America, and off a really muddling pace controlled by the winner and the leader, who has since won another Group 1, Holmesman did find the line well for third. So he looks to have good ability. Obviously, you're guessing a bit as to whether he's ready, but maybe check betting. I've gone his way two to beat one, Al Mandon, the class. Four, Gallic Chieftain, I thought was very good. First up, under 59. He's really well placed at the weights here, 54. And in for fourth, number five, Goldstream, who there was money around for him last start in the same race as Gallic Chieftain, and he did run better. He should have a bit of improvement left in him.
Race two at Caulfield on Saturday, Heritage Finance Caulfield Autumn Classic, 1,800 metres for three-year-olds at Group 2 level and level weights.
I've got number eight, Relson, here, and quite keen on him. I think he's a really nice staying prospect. Whether 1,800, Caulfield, you know, that's perhaps not quite his go, but he's drawn well. I'm just hoping he can take up a bit closer position. A lot of people expected him to win first up at Pakenham. I don't think he was too disappointing. He just got back a little bit too far on a night where it's hard to make ground, and he was certainly doing his best work late under the big weight at 1,400. Up in distance, and as I said, drawn well, he was showing good promise in the spring. So I'm keen on 8, Relson, to beat 12, Think Positive, at a bit of odds. He was very good without luck on debut at Benalla. Went to Bendigo, got the job done. I think he's a So You Think colt with a fair bit of upside. Number three, Mr. So-and-So, was excellent in the Autumn Stakes. It was a fast pace, and he hit the line hard for second behind Holy Snow. And six, Belfast, looked good at his first two. Didn't have all favours in Adelaide last start. He can improve.
And I'm forgiving Belfast for that Adelaide miss. Number six, Belfast, to beat three, Mr. So-and-So, one, Astoria, and seven, We Take Manhattan. Race three, Ladbrokes Zetative Stakes, three-year-old colts and geldings over 1,200 at Group 3 level.
Yeah, probably not the strongest Zetative Stakes we've seen. Only five original entries. They've ended up with a field of nine. I ended up going for number one, Overshare, who did show nice improvement second up. He was a bit plain first up, but he drew one down the straight, and then he improved in the Manfred chasing home Cliff's Edge. I'm just banking on that Cliff's Edge form to some degree. I've thrown Prevailing Winds in for second, who comes through the Autumn Stakes. As I said earlier, that was a fastly run race, really put the pressure on. I thought he held on well for fourth. Back to 1,200 should suit. A number nine, Poseidon's Pool. I was keen on him in the Manfred. Clearly, he had no hope. The betting suggested he was just a massive drifter, and he ran like it. I like the horse. I'll give him another chance. He's also in at Mooney Valley Friday night, so watch where they go with him. And Six Eye did it again in for fourth. He was pretty good in the Manfred first up.
Two Prevailing Winds for me to beat one over Share. Six Eye did it again in for fourth. Just keeping an eye on the Godolphin Resumer first upper, Piracy number four. Race four at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes Angus Armanasco Stakes. This one for the 3-year-old fillies over 1400 group two level.
I've got the number 10, Palazzo Vecchio. I think she's going to be a really nice filly over ground, where the 1400 first up against some of these might be a bit sharp, but she's a nice filly. She didn't have a lot go right on debut. She was ridden more positively at her next two. She impressed in both of them, especially at Cranbourne last start. Look, maybe Michael Walker had the pick. He'd been riding her, and he's been riding See Me Exceed, and See Me Exceed's in good form. But I've gone with number 10. I think she's a really nice filly. I think maybe a chance to get a good price about her on Saturday. Seven, Earth Angel, was really good first up. Obviously, the regally bred filly out of Miss Finland stays at 1,400. She'll certainly be looking for further soon, but her class will take her a long way. Two, Smart Coupe, missed the start at Caulfield last start, and that was a race over there behind Booker. She can improve, and eight, See Me Exceed. As I said, she's racing well. She's in next best.
Miss Wahoo for me, across from Adelaide, and Jamie Carr comes across to ride, also has a ride in the Blue Diamond, or has an emergency in the Blue Diamond that's 100 to 1 shot, and has a ride early on the program as well for Lindsay Park. But this one, of course, is for her main patron, Tony McAvoy. Miss Wahoo to beat seven, Earth Angel, six, Summer Sham, and two, Smart Coupe. Race five, Premier Signs Mannerism Stakes for the mares, also over 1,400. This one's group three.
I've gone with number seven, Samovare. She was good first up last prep, behind Swampland. She then gave 3 kilos to Spanish Reef and beat her quite comfortably second up. That's good form. She obviously went on and trained on through the spring to place in Group 3 company twice. I think she'll be hard to beat first up. To beat three, Flying Jess. She was getting through the line quite well first up, out to 1,400 suits. Four, Wheel Leisure. Certainly going to be a mare that improves over further. But as we saw with Lord Fandango a couple of weeks ago from the same stable, was able to run well fresh, and I think she can. And I've thrown in nine, Jester Halo. Well, she was in really good form. They had a throw at the stumps at the Yaw, and was only beaten just over three lengths in that blanket finish. So she's in next best. I'm risking Silent Edition. Well, she was a little bit plain first up. She had a chance to win. They've put the blinkers on, and that may just be the key, but I couldn't have her at $1.80.
Well, I'm with Jester Halo here. Didn't think she was disgraced at all in that Oar. Number nine to beat four, Wheel Leisure, one, Silent Edition, and seven, Samovare. Race six, first of the group ones, first leg of the quaddy, iTalk Travel Futurity Stakes, 1,400 metres, standard weight for age, worth $500,000.
Debated over this for a while, but I've gone with number three, Brave Smash. I think sort of most people will probably come for him. He obviously had a few excuses first up, raced a bit keenly, and was just sort of presented too soon. Three deep there in the Australia Stakes, and he hit back hard in the Oar. They took the blinkers off. Ran into a bit of trouble in the straight, but he was really savaging the line, and I think it'd be better for that first go at 1,400. To beat 10, Mighty Boss, probably could have won the Oar, but you could say that about a few of them. He didn't have much luck. He'd drawn well, so he's going to get the right run again. He's just going to need the brakes at the right time. 9, Shillelagh. Still a fan of hers. She just didn't have much hope in the Oar, obviously. They didn't really go as fast as what many were predicting. She's just going to need a little bit of luck again. And maybe Caulfield's not her track, but I'll certainly be including her in my quaddy. And Tosin Stardom, number one. He's had a few goes now at these shorter distances and just hasn't been able to win, albeit, with a bit of bad luck on occasions. Just think he needs further.
Doesn't happen often, but same four in the same order. 3-10, 9-1 for me as well. Race seven, Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Stakes, 1,200 for two-year-olds at level weights. And $1.5 million is the total purse. Where have you gone, Joel?
Yeah, well, as we said, it's a tricky race. You can make a case for plenty, but I guess I'm being a little bit loyal to Prairie Fire. He got the job done for us last week, Barrier one is tricky because he's probably going to, you know, get back to midfield somewhere around there and just going to need luck, but he's got a big finish. We saw that last week down the straight when given clear air. His final furlong was really sharp. Just think he's a colt really on the way up. The blinkers have switched him on, and with a bit of luck, he can win. Number two, in for second, written by. I think the wide draw is okay for him because he drew wide in the prelude. He showed good speed, got across. He's unbeaten two from two. I think he'll probably drift in the betting. I think I can see him being sort of, you know, undervalued somewhat. 13 in for third, Ennis Hill. Well, this is just taking a bit of a line through the prairie fire form. She went to the front and was strong, winning the chairman's. She does have to go 1,200. I guess that's a little bit of a query, but she was pretty strong through the line and she's drawn well. And 16, of her, as mentioned, she just hasn't had much go right in any of her runs, and she could be coming in unbeaten. She's not, but she's certainly a key player.
Well, as I've written in Best Bets and Winning Post this week, the last eight Blue Diamond winners have had their final lead-up run. They've either run first or second in a preview or prelude, or they have won the open sex two-year-old race that is run 3 weeks before the Blue Diamond. So that this year doesn't really save you. There's 16, given that there's 16 starters, that only chops it down to seven. But I've gone for two of those that are well drawn, and I've switched them around. The second place Plague Stone, I thought, could come good here from barrier six to beat Longleaf in seven. Uhud for third, and Ennis Hill for fourth. So 8, 1, 16, and 13 for me. And speaking of wide open races, the Oakley Plate always is. Unlike the Blue Diamond, which has been won by the favourite in five of the past 7 years and the second favourite in the other two of those, the Oakley Plate has frequently over the last decade or so been won by a horse at double figures, as you'd expect for a genuine handicap where they do go right down towards the 50 kilo mark down the bottom, and they all usually have big fields. So no surprise, Joel, that both your value bet and mine comes up in this race, which is of course 1100 metres. As I said, a handicap, half a million Group 1.
Yeah, look, responsible for some big finishes, this Oakley Plate. Still remember Wurram getting home over the top. I think he was last at the furlong and still won. So, yeah, look, as you said, you can find value in this race. And, well, I've gone for number 11, Bonds Away. He has been well found. I think markets went up early Monday and he was 26 into 13 straight away. So I'm a bit disappointed to miss out on the bigger odds. I think he's in short enough now at 11. I wouldn't want to be taking any shorter than that, but he certainly went through the grades quickly in the spring. Went from a benchmark 64 at Mildura. Two starts later, he was beating Brave Smash in a listed race, and he ran fourth in a Group 2, the Gill Guy. His jump outs have been excellent. Obviously, it's completely different on race day, but just on them suggests he's going super. Linda Meach back. She's only been back for a couple of rides since her lengthy suspension. Down in the weights, I think he's a good each way bet. I'll also be having something a little smaller bet on number 15, Glen All. He's been highly spruced throughout his career. They ran him in the Galaxy at start four, and he finished fourth behind Russian Revolution. He's only been with Team Hawks for one prep, and that was a win and a second. And he resumes here. He's a four-year-old entire. They're running out of time to make him a stallion. I think he'll run well. Two Russian Revolution, hard to knock. Unbeaten first up, 10 from six. He'll run well. And eight, Snitty Kitty. Not completely dropping off her. I think she was a bit underdone first up. She was the favourite for this race prior to that first up defeat.
Yeah, catchy for me. Won the Blue Diamond on this day last year, and the Hayes camp certainly can get them to win big races first up. They have proved that time and again in recent times. Most recently, of course, with Redcoat Warrior in the Lightning. Russian Revolution for second. She Will Reign, the reigning Golden Slipper winner, for third, and Booker, the other very smart filly, for fourth. So my numbers are 17, 2, 16, and 18. We finish off with race 9, the Carlton Draft Peter Young Stakes, Group 2, 1800, worth 200,000.
Yeah, look, I've gone with number 4, Ventura Storm. I think he's my early tip for the Australian Cup. I've put him on top here. He was pretty good first up last prep. That was obviously in the Heatherly, much easier than this race. And then with a bit of luck and a bit of room, he would have gone close in the Mackay B Diva. He was basically untested for most of the straight. And then he went to the Turnbull and beat home Humidor and would have won it but for Winx coming down here to steal the show. I think things went a bit awry later in the spring in the Cups, but he's a real talent. He's been gelded. I think if he's going to win the Australian Cup, then he's going to be very, very competitive here, and he's a good price. So I'll put him on top, number four, to beat the two favourites. Two Gallo Chop was good winning first up. One Hartnell was a blanket finish in the Yaw, but he did it tough, and it was a good win. And in for fourth, number nine, Single Gaze. She was excellent in the Yaw.
Yeah, well, I'm with Hartnell to beat Single Gaze, Gallo Chop, and Lord Fandango. 1-9-2-5. So Lindsay Park with four of the 10 runners there, but one of which, of course, is your top tip, but none of them under $10. So, best and value bets for Caulfield. Mine was, in fact, Jester Halo, race 5, number 9, and my value bet was Catchy in the Oakley Plate, race 8, number 17.
I made my best Relson, race 2, number 8, and my value is in the Oakley Plate, Bonds Away, race 8, number 11.
Rosehill Gardens, the venue for Sydney Racing on Saturday, and what a cracking Silver Slipper Stakes is race 3, TAB Silver Slipper Stakes. Group 2 over 1,100 can certainly produce the Golden Slipper winner from time to time. And what an amazing lineup we have here. Only 7 acceptors. One's never raced before. The other 6 between them have won 10 out of 11 starts. The only one that's got beaten is the Golden Slipper favourite, Sunlight.
Yeah, it's a really good clash. You know, sometimes less is more. You've only got 7 runners, but as you said, really exciting contest. Probably 4 winning hopes, 1, 4, 5, and 7, I would suggest. But I am going against Sunlight. She's done nothing wrong, but neither has number 7, Esther Jarb. I think she's pretty smart. This Hawks filly has really good gate speed. She cost plenty, 1.7 mil out of the Group 1 winner response. She trialled super, took it to race day, just showed a really good turn of foot when Brenton Avdullah asked. She's trialled brilliantly since. I think she'll win this and be favourite for the slipper after Saturday. 4 Sunlight in for second, 5 Gongs for third, and 1 Neutrality for fourth.
Okay, second of the 3 Group 2s at Rose Hill is race 5. Binary Stud, Millie Fox Stakes for fillies and mares over 1,300.
You've got number 8, Insensata, here from the Jason Coyle Yard. She takes her first step into stakes company. It's a tough ask, but I think it's at the right time. She's meeting a couple of these better mares first up, whereas she's had the 2 runs back from a spell. They've both been really good. Typical, a sort of Jason Coyle trained runner in that she gives away a start on more often than not, but her 2 runs have been really good. As I said, she was third to Faraway Town on Fatensky first up. They've both won again since, and then she was making good ground on Don't Give a Damn, who led throughout at Rose Hill. I really like her down in the weights with the fitness. To beat 5, Daisy Doom. She comes to hand quickly. She was good first up last prep before winning the Golden Pendant. 1 Egg Tart in for third. We didn't quite see the best of her in the spring, but she is a talent. As is number 2, Fox Play. I don't know what to make of her recent trial. Hugh Bowman was at her basically the whole way up the straight. She just wasn't making any ground, so just want to watch the betting with her. Clearly at her best, she can win.
Race 6 at Rosehill on Saturday, Parramatta Advertiser Cup, 1,900 metre listed race.
Don't really like this race, but I've gone with 7, Leopari. He's been a money muncher this prep if you've been with him, as I have. But maybe he's just looking for 1,900. He is by nom de jour, and he hasn't been racing badly. He's just been sort of stuck back off moderate tempos, and I think maybe 1,900 will suit. So I've gone his way from 1, Supply and Demand. Kept chasing last time with the big weight. 6, Admiral Jello will be fitter second up. And 9, Cars Off. Good win last time and dropped 6.5 kilos.
Last of the black type races at Rose Hill on Saturday is race 7. The Chandon S Chic Easy Hobartville Stakes. 1,400 for 3-year-olds at Group 2 level. Set weights.
Kemantari, for me, just explosive turn of foot to put away his rivals in the Eskimo Prince first up. If he can just have a bit of luck from gate 9 and get a bit of cover, I think his turn of foot will be too strong for these. Number 3 to beat 4, Pirata, who has basically taken all in front of him at up in Queensland this prep, beaten once. That was probably the track bias that got him that day, but obviously Magic Millions Guineas winner last start. This is tougher, but I think he's up to it. 9, D'Argento, unbeaten 3 from 3, looked good first up. And 8, Assimilate, was making ground in the Eskimo Prince behind Kemantari. May just still need a bit further.
All right, we have not covered your best bet or value bet, so talk us through those.
My best is Royal Tudor, race 8, number 7. Totally luckless first up at 1,000 metres. Should have won, ridden for luck and just didn't get it. He was nearly put over the rail numerous times. They've kept him fresh, 1,100, not worried about the draw because he'll get back and get a bit of cover off some good speed. He'll be hard to beat. My value is Palathronius, race 2, number 6. I liked him last week. He had a big weight. They get him into a race here on the minimum 53, and he's very well placed after two good runs back from a spell. Any rain will help, but even on dry, he'll be tough to beat. And a bit of a roughie in the last race, 9, number 13, Careless. I think at 40-1, you can have a couple of dollars on him. He looks a big improver.
Okay. They're racing on the Parks track at Morfordville on Saturday, and it's a 9-race card. And Carl Diorio, who will be back in the chair next week, I assume, with Joel having a well-earned holiday. Carl likes race 7, number 8, Blue Tycoon, on a hat-trick here and actually goes down in weight after the claim for Fred Kersley. That's race 7, number 8, and his value bet at around about a juicy $33, second up for Shane Fleedner. And Harry Coffey across there in Adelaide is race 9, number 9. BJZ. Did you like anything at Morfordville, Joel?
Just race 4, number 7, Callisto Girl. I liked her first up off a good trial. 1,000 metres just may have been a bit short, but she was hitting the line okay. Much better suited out to 1250. I think she's well worth another chance.
All right, well, I don't know what you can, don't know what sort of sense you can make of Doomben at this stage, Joel, because the track could be anywhere from a good 3 to a heavy 12 and may not even run at all. And of course, as is habitually the case with Queensland racing these days, there's races with 7 and 8 emergencies, and who knows what's running and who knows what isn't. But what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, they're expecting heaps of rain. If it comes, as you said, we could be on a really heavy track and fields decimated. But at this stage, Tversky is my best in the final event. Race 9, number 5. He has won 2 from 2 on heavy, so that's not a problem. Stayed at 1,000 metres last start. May just have, you know, he was ridden with a bit of cover, didn't quite have the pace to cross from the wide gate. And he was strong late, though. 1,200 metres won't be a problem now. I think he's the bet of the day. And my value is Flamboyer. Rain certainly will help him. Race 8, number 3. He has had the 3 runs back from a spell. Showed nice improvement last start. He finally gets onto a track with Given It. Hopefully, he's drawn well. He'll be on speed. And 53 kilos, that's a pretty good weight for a horse like him.
Alrighty, Perth. They are at Ascot once again. And BJ Ryan excited about the appearance, the reappearance of one of WA's top 3-year-olds, race 3, number 4, Mani Mahur. Clearly the horse to beat. First appearance since he was very competitive in the Weight for Age Kingston Town Classic at Group 1 level in December. Hasn't had a lead-up trial but does fly fresh, and with just even luck should be winning the race. That's race 3, number 4, and BJ's value bet, race 7, number 11, Atlanta Blue. BJ very keen that this horse, who accounted for the smart showcase in winning first up, can get a sweet trail in the box seat. Only has 54.5 and can give it a shake at around about $8 on an each-way basis. Earlier in the day, Joel, we are racing at Matamata.
Matamata and Hastings. Hastings have a Group 1. Matamata, probably the better card overall. They've got 3 stakes races, including a couple of group features for the 2-year-olds. My best at Matamata is Jake the Muss, race 9, number 5. He's a promising son of Tavistock. He was dominant over the mile, third up, extra distance ideal, stays in the same class. I think he can continue to progress through the grades, and my value is in the opener. Race 1, number 1, Pythagoras. Lightly raced, gallop up from the Roger James yard, really caught the eye first up, and will eat up the 1600 metres second up. At Hastings, my best is Jar Jar Binks, race 3, number 5. Mixing form a little bit this prep, but in tougher company and looks suited in a small field. And my value is Dama Zorro, which is race 4, number 7. Really good run, 2 starts back. Just got caught wide and over-raced badly last time. Forget that. He is worth another chance. The Group 1 race there, I guess all eyes will be on the returning Bonneval. Race 7, number 11. Top class mare from the Baker Forsman yard. She's been trialling well. 1600 first up, but you would think she'd be pretty hard to beat on what we saw of her in the spring.
All right, that takes care of a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. It's got all the form, not only for Saturday, but for Friday night and Sunday, as well as fields for Monday, and all the great reading that you're used to from Matt Stewart, Paul Richards, Shane Templeton, and the rest of the cast and crew. Sunday's highlight is the Group 3 Vamos Stakes at Launceston. Race 7, this is it's usually one of the strongest races of the Tassie Carnival, possibly the strongest. Usually a lot of very good form comes out of it. Not sure about this year's edition. We've only got Joe Castor for Leon Corstens and Go-Go Grace, who won the equivalent race in Hobart for Leon McDonald and Andrew Glyas. Other than that, it's all locals, one of whom is the very, very smart Life on the Wire. It probably is between Go-Go Grace and Life on the Wire. I went for Go-Go Grace. Our man in Tassie, Adam Williams, went for Life on the Wire. And the other black type race down there on Sunday is the Brooklyn Park Adjustment Tasmanian Oaks. Over 2100 does look a perfect opportunity for pleasuring for Darren Weir to pick up some black type. Currently in red figures, and Adam is with pleasuring. I've actually gone for Last Light for Mark Elton, Matthew Elton and Simon Zara to knock her off. So finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. Well, I'm pleased to say I nearly doubled our money last week by going each way on Radipole at 370 or so the place. How did you go?
No, it was a wipeout for me, I believe, with my best.
Yeah, well, speaking of why, I think my best for Caulfield did get up, which was Kingsville Dream, but I think that was the only one I tipped on top, so fairly poor, set to bounce back. And I am going to go with, I'm going to go 10 each way on Plaguestone in the Diamond, race 7, number 8.
All right, well, I'm going to have a box duet, so I'll go out on a break with something exotic. Oakley Plate, box 5 of them in the duet for $2, that'll cost you 20. Russian Revolution, Savannah Amore for a roughie, Snitty Kitty, Bonds Away, Glen All.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great break, Joel. And Carl and I will talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.